If everybody could, if you have your Bibles with you, if not, you can just listen, it's fine. Open up to Judges 4, to the story of Deborah. So I don't know how many people are familiar with Deborah or just that story, but it's a very small part of the Bible that she gets kind of just run over really quick, but it's important. So I'm just going to read the first couple of verses from chapter 4, just so we kind of are on the same page. And it says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Heshereth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go, and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee the river of Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh." So I'll just stop there. So, sorry if I said any of those names wrong. I just kind of go with the flow. But just to kind of sum up the story, the children of Israel have again turned away from the Lord. And we see that in the Old Testament. They're constantly getting stuck on things and losing their focus from the Lord. And in that time, there was a woman judging the people of Israel, Deborah. And back then, because they no longer had the kings, they now had judges. So it wasn't just like those big things that they brought to these judges. People would bring their everyday issues to these judges, whether it was an issue with their land and a neighbor and they weren't staying on their side, or if it was an issue with between a husband and a wife, something going on with children. I mean, you see that kind of in the New Testament when people are bringing their issues back and forth to the apostles. It's a similar situation. So they had these people over Israel who they respected, and they would bring their issues to all the time. And this was Deborah at that time. And something I just wanted the Lord, I feel like the Lord put in my heart, was this woman was dealing with everyday issues for people around her. The only way that she could do that was because her focus was on the Lord. And she knew the word. She knew God's law. And being able to know that, she could teach everybody else. There were a lot of people who maybe weren't as learned in the law or the ways. I mean, like there was the women who didn't quite get schooled the same and things like that. So there would be people who weren't quite familiar with that. Deborah spent her time knowing the word and knowing the way that it had been set out for them to follow and with everything. So, I mean, you see that in the Old Testament. God gave them rules and kind of steps for everything, washing themselves, taking care of their house, how they treated each other, how they treated strangers. He gave them guidelines for everything. And so these people, these judges, knew those guidelines inside and out. And they were able to go through and say, well, this is what God says, so this is how you need to take care of this problem. We see Deborah. It just kind of just goes over that fact that she's a judge. But I just wanted to make sure you understood that portion of it. It was an everyday thing that she did. She sat under that tree. People came to her all day long. She didn't have like set hours or anything. From dusk till night, you know. They came to her all day long with issues and problems, and she gave them the word. And she gave them what God said, what God had already set out. And then the Bible, or it starts there talking about this other group that was now over Israel and who was essentially The sky was raining over them, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And now that's just a verse. It just says, this was the person in charge, he had this many chariots, and he was really bad in oppressing them. But you have to think about what that meant for the children of Israel. They did not have weapons as slaves, they were slaves. So they could work their own land, they might have farm tools and things like that. They didn't have any way of defending themselves against iron. And in that time, iron was something that people had who were rich, essentially. And they had ways of defending themselves. They had ways of taking from those who didn't have it. And then it says that he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. So this is 20 years of them being, I mean, essentially, you think of the people, you know, churches in different countries. When we think oppressed, we think of those people. So we kind of identify with the church underground and things like that. They're being oppressed. So that's a similar situation. They've been oppressed for 20 years, and they're finally calling out to God. And Deborah goes to this one man and says, God has said to take some men from the Naphtali tribe and the Zebulun tribe. Again, still people who have been, they're the same people who have been oppressed. They don't have weapons. They don't have any skills and training. Even the youngest men might be around 20 years old, and the 20-year-olds are the people who grew up this whole time being oppressed. And she says, God wants you to take these men who know nothing, who don't know how to fight, and he wants you to go against these guys with the chariots who have been torturing you all this time. So essentially, stand up and fight against these people. And so she just, I mean, I love the way it just happened. She's doing her job. God tells her to go and do something. She stands up and tells this man, get up, get these men. God wants you to go against this man and fight and win. This is God's word. And this guy goes, I won't go unless you go. So he's like, you're going to give me this word, but unless you put your neck on the line and you trust in this, I'm not going. And this is one of the biggest things that I feel like God has been pressing on me in reading about Deborah and the call of Deborah. This woman was every day, probably a lot of the time, saying the same thing. Like for you moms, you say the same thing over and over and over. So it just kind of becomes a reel in your head. Like this is something you know by heart. She's every day saying the same things to these people. Small things are being taken care of. And she sees, by knowing those small things and being able to bring forth the word of the Lord for those small things, she has every confidence when God says that he's going to take over these people and he's going to win this fight, regardless of the odds. When this guy says, I'm not going unless you go, she says, okay. She gets up her stuff and she's, let's go. Because she knows who God is. She's seen him answer in the small, mundane things every single day for 20 years. She's seen him there. She knows who he is. She understands, she believes, and she trusts in him. And I feel like what God is trying to say, especially to me, and to us today, I feel like there's a lot of us, and we've been talking about in church a lot, and I mean, on the news, even in general, if you're watching the news, there's a lot going on, big stuff going on. And you can see the world is changing. You know, there's a crossroads that we've hit, and things are definitely turning. You know, I mean, everybody in the past, I mean, I grew up in church, so it's always been preparing for the, you know, for that end times, those times that the Word talks about. And now more than ever, it really does feel like that. You know, there's just so much going on globally. And I feel like God has stressed on me, if you can't trust me in the small, mundane things, if you don't know my word so well that you have an understanding of where I'd like you to go in this next step, whether it's with your finances, relationships, I mean, just your job, you know, that annoying person you have to deal with, you know, just small things, those tiny things, you will have no idea what his word is. You won't have that faith to be able to stand up when he says, go, because I'm going to defeat this big, huge thing in front of you, whether it's in your own personal life or in the world in general around us. How will you know? I know there's a we're all coming from different kind of spots in our lives. Everybody has something going on. I feel like there's a portion that God is saying, you know, you're Barak, saying, if you go, I'll go. You know, there's maybe that portion of you where you feel like you really have felt God say something to you, and he's calling to you. You have that, like, feel like somebody's kind of holding you back just a little bit. And you feel like if you just don't have that step, you know, you really need someone there to speak with. I just want to encourage you that there are people here that you can talk to. If you need someone to confirm something, you know, I feel like this is what God has said to me. Can you help me? Like, I need encouragement. I just need someone to talk to about it. Like, I don't come out as often as I should, or, you know, as much as I can. But these women around you are open. You know, there are strong women of faith here who will, you know, stand by you, pray with you. Maybe they don't have an answer, but they'll pray with you. They'll direct you to the word just like, you know, you need to be, and they'll give you that, maybe that oomph, you know, to go in the way that God has called you. And then there's, I feel like, just in myself, I feel like the Lord's really saying to me, like, get into this word. Do you know it so well that you hear that silent voice saying this way, not that way? Do you hear him in those small things, decisions about relationships, decisions about money, jobs, just anything? Do you hear his voice? Do you give him an option to talk to you about those things? We're used to knowing that we have to pray about those big things, but give him those small things. Have that relationship with him where you know his voice, where you have read this so much that if somebody else came to you or another voice came to you, no, that's not him, because I've heard him, because I know him, because he has a certain voice that I know. I mean, I was trying to think of a way to explain this a little bit better. And nowadays, you can have a relationship with someone over text, but it's not the same as sitting down and talking to them. I mean, you can meet someone on Facebook and you see like a certain, but you know you don't really know them until you've spent time with them. You can come to church and hear portions of this word and you get an idea of what God is, but you have not heard him in your voice, in your heart, in your life. You have not heard the plan that he has for you. God has a plan for this church, and he's going to complete it. But he has a plan for us individually as well. And you have to be able to know, and you have to be able to get in the word for yourself. Pastor Mark and Pastor Maggie are always saying that, like, you can listen to us, that's fine. And you can hear these small blips and stuff, but you need to know it for yourself. Because there are times when no one else is there, and the only voice you hear is the ones that you've allowed in here. You know, it's either your mind fighting against you or it's the Spirit of the Lord rising up and giving you the answers that you need. And I just feel like that's something that God is trying to encourage us to in this. This is a huge moment in the history of Israel. They were this small, tiny, oppressed people, and God was going to bring victory. And it happens all the time in the history of Israel. Reading the Old Testament, there's constant points where, and you can even, if you read history books today talking about Israel, it makes no sense. They should never have won the victories that they've won. They should never have come to where they came. And it's not because they're so perfect or they've done so great, but it's because God had a plan and God was going to complete it, and God does complete it. And you've seen that there, and that's something that he wants us to know, and that's why he puts all of these stories there in the Old Testament, so that you can see that he set a plan forward in the beginning, and he's going to carry it out. If you want to be a part of that, he wants you to be a part of that. The best way to do that is to get into this and know his voice. So for that every decision leading up to those big moments, you know where you're supposed to go. You know what you're supposed to do. You can have faith to say, okay, let's go. I know I can go. I know that we can do this. I'm not afraid of the odds because I've seen him do this every day. I've seen him answer. I've seen him be faithful. I've seen him be truthful. And then there's just some verses that I felt like just to share. I felt were on my heart for you guys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. That's Proverbs 18:10. For me, I've just been having a hard time in general lately And it's easy to get caught up in all of the extra stuff and to forget that there's the name of our God is a strong tower, and we can be saved just by being in his presence from whatever it is that's going on. And I just want to encourage you to set those things there. And one more. It's just a small verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And it's something that I think we hear a lot in church and we say a lot, but it's not just a phrase. It's a promise.
Amen.
He was the same here to these people. He will be the same to you today.
Yes.
He will be the same tomorrow.
Yes.
Whatever tomorrow holds, he is that same God that said, I am going to bring victory. I am going to raise up a remnant. I am going to be there for you. He's the same God. That's why I think he wants us. I mean, that's why this is here. I mean, this is an example to you for those of us, especially I know for myself growing up. I grew up in church, so I didn't really have a lot going on that I felt like, you know, there was like the enemies were at the gate or something. You know, it's like, but as you go on, you read these things and you start to, you get older, you start to see things going on in your own life. You have your own issues, and the word comes back to you. There was this time in this verse where God said this, and he made this thing happen. He will bring that back to you. For you, especially the younger girls, maybe, I just feel like put your trust here first. Understand that word. Know that word. And in those times when things come up in your life that maybe you haven't had experience with before, they're bigger than the things you normally deal with, God will give you back his word. He will answer you. He'll bring you back what he's already said, the things that he's done. Like I said, he was the same then, and he'll be the same for you today. And then for those, the women who have, you've lived your lives, you have kids, you have husbands, you're going through things, you've been with the Lord for a while. It's just a reminder. The same as he was when you first got saved. That same God who wooed you and just overwhelmed you with that love and peace and graciousness that you haven't ever had in another relationship. As hard as we try, there is no one like him. And he's the same God as that first time you met him. And he wants to be that today. And he wants to be it at the very end of our days as well. And that's my encouragement for you today. And just with what we see with Deborah, he's the same God then, and that in her daily thing as he was going to be in the end there with that giant thing that he was asking of them. He's the same God, and we can trust him to be that God and just encourage you to know his voice so that you're ready and you understand those moments when he calls you to stand up against the giants that you know he'll be the same. So.
Amen.